And welcome into the morning. It is 96.5 The Fan. Fesco, Mac, and Dusty, we are thawed out and ready to rock. It's a chilly one out there. It must be cold because I saw somebody from a news channel getting ready to do a live shot down the corner on
just
Shawnee
standing
Mission
in the middle of the road.
Nah, he was on the corner of Shawnee Mission Parkway and Null, where that I think it's a bank, and they of course have the temperature, and it said -3.
Yes.
I was like, that's a lie. My car says -9, dude.
Mine said -2 was the lowest I saw, and then as I rolled in this morning, they said we hit a record low for the day already today, ever. Oh. Coldest January 21st on record, and they're saying today right now is actually colder than the wild card game against the Miami Dolphins. And so
if you were out there
for that game against the Miami Dolphins, make sure you wear gloves this time and don't lose your fingers because it is cold. The kiddos all have a 2-hour delay today for the bus and for the school and for the cold and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it is brutally cold out there today. So wear a jacket, wear some gloves, wear some hats, and by next week, it'll be in almost the 50s again.
I don't think I would go to school if I had a 2-hour delay. It's just like too long for me. It's like, normally your school starts at 8 and you go to 10, be like, I've already missed like 2 classes.
They condense it all, 25-minute classes. They move through and get it done. Yeah, you say that when you have children, Dusty. Go ahead. You say, when you have children. We'll circle that back when you're like, get the hell at school.
No, I get it. I totally get it. It's just, I don't know. I feel like today's a wash when it comes to like, trying to keep kids entertained, keep them in focus, getting to, I mean, cause like, I think, I don't know if you guys did this in high school, where you come from, Mac, but I don't know if we were like the trailblazers up, but we got like a delayed start, at least back in the day. You got like 2 delayed starts per like quarter or per midterm. So like, if you had any D's or F's, like you didn't get to go to the late start.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you had to go to normal time.
Oh, that sounds great.
But if you were, you know, at least above your class, like a C or above,
gave you motivation to do well.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, that does also puts parents out who have to get to work true. And you got to find a ride if your kid isn't driving you to get to school.
I can get straight A's, I'm going to be late to work.
The late starts, you know, it sounds good in theory, but, you know, consider the parents when you're doing all that kind of stuff.
Well,
because
high
that, but a lot of kids do not drive. In high
That's
school,
why they have buses. You know?
Yeah, a lot of kids don't take the bus because it costs a lot of money if you're going to hop on the bus if you live a bit too far away. So, there's a lot of options out there.
Why would it cost money on a bus?
Because it costs money to ride the bus.
A school bus?
Yes, it does. If you live more than 2.1 miles away or something,
we can't really
they charge
have a conversation
you.
If you just take the actual start and then just start nitpicking little by. It's like, well, you can't go to eat here because it costs $2 more to go here. Then
true.
You got to eat cabbage here. Then you can only drink water here from a faucet because mm-hmm. this faucet isn't clean because it's not filtered out right. Because then you have to do this. So not everybody can drink water.
That's right.
It's like,
that's right.
Yeah, it's a pain in the ass, these delays. But hey, you know what? Go to school. Get to school. Get out there. Get your work done. And it'll be better for everybody. Get that socialization in because that's what's needed mostly for these kids.
Speaking of a late start, game's supposed to start at 6:30 last night. I didn't start till 6:50.
6:45. That is
that
a lie.
Brutal.
That's the biggest. Even Dennis Dodd, you know, of CBS Sports, he tweeted last night. He goes, this 6:30 start is buried in a 6:45 kickoff. And I was like 6:35, 6:40, national. What are we doing here?
It was 6:50 when that thing got kicked.
I mean,
at least. I mean, and then
NBA
the first
time.
Half. The first half looked like it felt like it took forever as well. Like the first drive for Notre Dame was just run, and then they ran, and then they ran again, and then they ran again. And then it was like, oh, it's halftime and it's 8:00. Like, what are we doing here?
Well, no, I thought the first quarter blew right by. They made up for that late start. That poor kid from Notre Dame, though, that's the only offense that they had is running that quarterback. And then he's throwing up on the sidelines after the first drive. And you're like, oh, my gosh, I don't know, you know, what kind of night it's going to be for Leonard over here by puking on the sidelines and falling on top of the ball and doing all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, don't tell people it's going to be a 6:30 kick and then bamboozle them with 15 minutes of pregame and introductions and all that stuff. Tell us 6:45 is kickoff. We'll get there at 6:45 and watch that kickoff. And look, it turned into a good game. I know people were bitching at halftime about that game, and that's what we do now on social media. We complain immediately about a game instead of, you know, enjoying the game and seeing how it plays out. And everybody was complaining at halftime about the game. And hey, credit to Notre Dame for coming back out in the second half and battling their tail off to make that thing close. And then I don't know who's got a bigger set of balls today, Ryan Day, Will Howard, or the offensive coordinator for Ohio State, Chip Kelly, to call up that third down pass to Smith along the sidelines. I mean, that takes a big, big, big set of cojones to call up that play at that time when you have zero momentum going for you. My God, that was a ballsy call by Ryan Day, and it ended up working for him.
Yeah, I think it's I feel like Ryan Day pulled a Jim Harbaugh, right? Like, he couldn't beat Michigan, then finally beat Michigan, or will eventually, like, will beat Michigan, but got to a national championship game and won it.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's one thing that Ryan Day's had a lot of, you know, criticism for, it's can he beat the Michigan Wolverines and can he actually take Ohio State to the promised land? I feel like Ohio State's going to win it again next year. I mean, they are loaded on the receiver core. They're loaded on offense. They brought in Will Howard. I think they've kind of found their system, or at least Ryan Day has found his system. If you're going to go out and everybody else is going to get the top recruits and at quarterback in the SEC, and Michigan's just going to go pay for the quarterback to play at their school, and, you know, the SEC is known still, I think, is the number one conference, but we can have a conversation that the Big Ten is knocking.
Yep.
Because the Big Ten's won back-to-back titles, and if Ohio State wins again next year, that's three in a row. SEC won four in a row. Clemson had a couple sandwiched in between there. And then Ohio State had won one in the previous years. But, man, I mean, Ohio State looks like they're built for, like, a little back-to-back run. And if Ryan Day finally got over this hump, I'd like to kind of see what they did. Because I'll tell you what, if you're mad about Ohio State, the only people you can blame right now is the Michigan Wolverines. Since you planted a flag into their field.
That's right.
Since then, it was just like, all right, F this. We're going to burn the world down.
And they did burn the world down. I mean, and it was great to watch it. And I will go as far to say that this run by Ohio State, and this may be caught in the moment hyperbolic.
Texas blew Oregon out, beat Notre Dame.
Beat Tennessee, Oregon, Texas, and they win yesterday by beating Notre Dame. That's arguably the greatest run to a championship through power teams that we've seen in any sport. I mean, you beat a Tennessee team, you beat an Oregon team that was number one all year, a Texas team that everybody wanted to beat number one, and then Notre Dame. I mean, find me a better run to a championship of beating powerhouses like that, the Ohio State had to do, and not just beating them, just burying them into a pulp. I mean, they bludgeoned everybody, except obviously Notre Dame kept it a little close yesterday, but that game was 31-7 at one point of the night last night. So you could say it was a whooping, but Notre Dame fought back a little bit. But I think it's one of the greatest, if not the greatest, single playoff runs in any sport going through all of those teams. And now Ryan Day can stand there and say, hey, the Big Ten has back-to-back championships. I've got my championship. I'm 70-10 overall at Ohio State, second winningest coach in Ohio State history. You want to fire me now? You want me to go somewhere else and coach? Because I can do just that. And I think now he's finally going to get appreciated, at least for the moment, at Ohio State. We'll see how they go out and get a quarterback. But that's the interesting thing now going into this offseason. If you're a college team, why recruit a freshman quarterback? Just go poach a quarterback from a smaller school, pay them more money, like you know we saw Ohio State do with Will Howard. And go that route. And that way, you know, you got a guy that's capable of playing at the collegiate level. You don't have to worry about a kid coming in as a freshman. So I wonder who Ryan Day and Ohio State now are going to go poach as their quarterback.
The other thing, too, is kind of very appetizing, maybe in my opinion, Mac, you can help me out with this, that why you might go to Ohio State is you look at what you're throwing to.
Oh, my gosh. Smith.
Like, I mean, Jeremiah Smith. I mean, I think Abuka's coming out, isn't he?
Yeah, he'll be out.
What a stud he is.
Have other five stars come right up.
Ohio State's wide receiver university. LSU.
And I thought Marvin Harrison was good. This Jeremiah Smith, I mean, my goodness. Wow. He may be right up there, if not better already, than what we saw out of Marvin Harrison Jr. And
he's freshman I've ever seen.
He's 18.
Yeah. Best 18-year-old I've ever seen.
He'll be 19 next year as a sophomore, another year of experience.
You think anybody's going to try to poach him and pay him big bucks to go play for them?
He'd be the first non-quarterback taken tomorrow in the draft.
Doubt about it. I feel like he might go ahead. Actually, I don't think he might. I think he would go ahead of Travis Hunter.
I think he would too.
Well, Hunter won the Heisman.
I was going to say, why wouldn't you put him as the first player to be chosen? Because there isn't a quarterback worth going number one in the draft.
I agree.
I mean, it's not like we're sitting here with
Daniel Jones could do it with Jeremiah Smith and Malik Neighbors?
No, I don't actually. No, I don't. He still needs an offensive line, and I don't think he could do it with those guys. But yeah, like if you're the Giants this year,
special man.
How do you not take Jeremiah Smith if he falls to 3 or 4 or wherever they're picking, instead of overreaching on some lame quarterback at that point in time, you go with that kid. Obviously, he's not coming out in the draft this year, but man, he's got you excited. Him and Ryan Williams down at Alabama too. I mean, you got two star wide receivers that just came out of the womb like 15 minutes ago that are taking the college world by storm. I thought last night was a fun football game. Obviously, I was rooting for Ohio State to win that thing and watching them play, but Notre Dame made it a game. Notre Dame came back. Notre Dame gave you something to stick around for, in the fourth quarter when it would have been very easy to flip that game off. And they fought tooth and nail. Credit to Marcus Freeman, who I thought lost a little NFL buzz yesterday with some stuff that went on.
I thought he's hired now.
Yeah, well, for the most part, right? I mean,
there's three jobs that are open, basically.
Jacksonville still open?
Kind of. And then you have New Orleans.
Who's Jacksonville leaning towards?
Saleh.
No way. Really? Yeah,
I think so. I've heard his name very involved. They want a second interview. Aaron Glenn's supposedly not going to be able to leave New York.
Right.
Johnson's obviously hired. So you have the Raiders and you have New Orleans.
The Raiders and New Orleans is like deep in with Mike McCarthy, I think. Or
I mean, I guess.
Could be.
I mean, I don't know who they're going to bring in to quarterback that team.
Well, they like David Carr, Derek Carr, one of the Carr brothers.
You've got a fast car.
Yeah, right. Not
Tracy Chapman's version or Luke Combs's version?
I wanted to hate the Luke Combs version so much, and I love the Luke Combs version. Like, you talk about a guy who just took a song and did great, great, great things.
And also
with
gave
it,
her all the credit.
And gave her all the credit in the world. Like,
they tried to spin it like, oh yeah, here comes this country white guy, takes it for the royalties of this, you know, whatever African-American lady for that was made at first, and he's like, nah, dude, like,
no, it's all her.
No, it's all her.
Yeah, like, he got permission from her and everything. Like, it was that's a
he's
powerful,
a dude,
important song in American history, right?
You want a good country concert, go see that.
Ooh, I mean, ooh, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about, because that Luke Combs rendition of Fast, like, again, I wanted to so bad not like that song, and then I'm like, damn, I really like this song.
They overplayed it, but welcome to radio.
Welcome to radio. You play the hits, right? People want to hear the songs and whatnot, so you do it. But I thought Marcus Freeman, a little NFL buzz, kind of, you know, he was a deer in headlights in both his on-field interviews, I thought, you know, yesterday, didn't like have the answers and wasn't sure. And then I guess there was an incident in the locker room yesterday. I don't know if you guys are hearing about this one. The Dan Walken of USA Today has reported
Son.
It is Christopher's son, that Notre Dame coach Marcus Freeman. Let me see here. Let me get to it.
He had a fresh haircut yesterday.
He did, man, and that was the thing.
It was clean.
Dan Walken of USA Today tweeted out yesterday, bizarre scenes from the Notre Dame locker room, players yelling at reporters, coaches warning people not to ask certain questions, amateur hour. If that's what's going on inside that locker room and you can't handle questions, it's kind of another red flag that maybe Marcus Freeman isn't quite ready yet for the NFL. That, and also, too, Mark Andrews now hiding 2 days in a row in Baltimore. You're the team captain, man. Grow a set. Get out there and address the media and stop making your teammates defend you for dropping passes.
We sure he's out there? I think his body left him in that game. I don't know where Mark Andrews is.
He ain't going to be in Baltimore next year.
That's fine. Let him come run double tight end sets in Kansas City.
I was talking about trading him to San Diego already to the other Harbaugh. That's the rumor out there right now. But, you know,
And I know we got to wrap this up, but I think Marcus Freeman's okay. I think the buzz in the NFL, maybe. I mean, he's only 39.
Just
turned 39, but he had an idea when he came out. They looked very well, that orchestrated drive.
Great first drive, man.
Then, unfortunately, his team didn't tackle the running back to start of the second half, so that kind of gave him buried him a little bit more. But they adjusted, I think, in the second half, and he showed me enough to let me know that he could still, you know, rally a group up, can be a leader, all that sort of stuff. Kept his composure pretty well. Obviously, the roughing the passer call was he in the game.
Once that happened, it was over. It was over. And that's where he kind of lost your composure and lost the game.
Yeah, and he knew it. He was like,
oh God, yeah. I mean, how could you not know it in that situation? Right. Then, you know, the ensuing drive up over the top, hitting the stud wide receiver Smith along the sidelines on a third and 10. Like, just an incredible play. Like, that's one of the greatest play calls I've ever seen, because it worked, right? That's how we know it's a good play call, because they executed it. Right. If they don't execute that, we're screaming at Ryan Day saying, oh my God, you lost the game in that situation. We may have been headed to overtime if that pass doesn't get complete.
Speaking of screaming, you'll hear Mad Dog Russo once an hour because he's screaming hatred towards your Kansas City Chiefs. We'll explain on the other side. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City Sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Diving back into it here on Fesco and Dusty with the Macamone. Coming up, the worst segment in Kansas City, the Likens Library. Final audition. So some people might be happy. The library closes after today. Not my fault.
We can keep it open, though. Popular demand wants it to stay open, you know?
A lot of people, this segment sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you come up with something, Ronnie.
Yeah, exactly. I love this segment, actually. I think it is fun.
I love the people that are like, you do realize that they don't play music in the library.
Yeah, they kind of do, though. If you go to a nice library, it has a fireplace and cocktails, they do that.
I just found out on my new TV I got for my room, you can do a screensaver that's like a fireplace, and it makes the crackling sound.
Oh, yeah, it's called the U-Log. I watched
it
at the holiday
time. Last night.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, it's great. Nothing better than the fire. And, so warm and whatnot. But
I wish I had a fireplace today. Daddy, I'd be right next to it with a fleece blanket.
Stay warm, man. Stay warm today. It's snowing in Texas. In Seguin, Texas, they're getting 1.5 to 2 inches of snow down there. You know the last time they got snow? Never. It doesn't snow in South Texas. Houston's airports are closed today because of snow.
Why do I feel like you know somebody from there? Because that's a really random pull. Seguin, Texas.
That's where my first job was.
Oh.
Yeah.
What'd you do down there?
This.
I'm saying, like, did you just, like, host? That's all you did?
Sports in the morning and play-by-play, yeah.
That seems like a place where you would run your own board and do your own talking.
Nope, never had to do that ever.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Do you think you could...
No.
No, not a chance.
Not a chance, no.
I think it'd be a funny bit. All right, Bob, let's hear what you got. Like,
yeah, no.
You listen to Fox Sports Radio.
Exactly. No, yes. No chance.
You might have a panic attack.
You know, the only time I actually did what Mac is doing was back in 1997, and I was in college.
97.
And guy gave me a job at KCMO 710 at the time, and I forget. Yeah, I think it was. And he's like, you want this job? It was this guy who ended up killing his wife, actually. It was a Dateline episode. Fantastic. Jeez. Stuff. Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. J.P. O'Neill. Look him up.
Paul's dad?
No relation. That was actually a pseudo radio name. I don't remember what his real name was.
Oh, gotcha.
So this guy, I was an intern in like 97 at KNBZ doing the Royals, and, you know, that was the year the Jim Edmonds made that catch, and, you know, got to see that. It was cool and all. I mean, that was one of the greatest catches I think I've ever seen, was that Edmonds catch. But anyway.
Why don't I remember who was hitting?
I can't remember for the life of me who it was. Probably like a Bip Roberts.
No, it was like the second baseman. Not
Fabulous?
No,
Fabulous. Well, maybe
he played second, but he wasn't on that team. Not Jeff Blauser, but it's something like that. Gosh, what was his name? Blonde-haired guy, blue eyes. Flew out deep center, thought he had a like triple. Either way, sorry.
Either way, but no, it was a hell. So I was, you know, interning, and the guy's like, would you like a job? And of course, and you're like, yeah, I'll take a job, right? I'm still in college. He goes, you have to run this show called Art Bell on Saturday nights. And it goes from 6 to midnight. And I said, oh, okay, great, fantastic, right? And Art Bell talks to aliens, a weird show, man. Like, back in the day, he was communicating with the other side and talking to the aliens and all this kind of stuff. And there was one break per hour, Dusty, that I had to run. I couldn't figure it out. and like, I had notes upon notes. And I'm like, all right, I'm done with this. So this J.P. O'Neill guy.
David Howard.
Okay, I believe that's who
hit it to Jim Edmonds. Right. Sorry.
So this J.P. O'Neill guy is like, yeah, take this job and whatnot. I'm like, cool. He goes, I started ESPN 1000 in Chicago. So it was a 20-year-old kid who wanted to get into sports radio. This is a big deal, right? This guy had nice suits and all this kind of stuff. Years later, we would find out he killed his wife. He poisoned her with the antifreeze. And they were living in Massachusetts, and I guess his wife was rich or whatever, and he wanted to get the funding for it. And I get a call one day years later, and like, I don't know, maybe 03, 04, from an old boss of mine who's since passed away, Brian Wilson. And he said to me, he goes, this is the weirdest thing just happened. He was working at the radio station in Columbia, Missouri. He goes, yeah, I hired J.P. O'Neill. I'm like, oh, okay, great. He goes, yeah, the cops just came in and arrested him on the air.
Wow.
On the air, he went to commercial break, they arrested him, took him away, and that's that. And there's a whole Dateline episode about this, you know, and whatnot. And then that wasn't the first time I had somebody arrested on the air. That's happened twice to me
now. Or the last.
Yeah, I know, working with you two. Who the hell knows? You know, what's coming next?
There's more.
So, I've had like two people in my life arrested on the air. It's like, it's unbelievable. So, if you want to, you know, look up J.P. O'Neill, watch that Dateline episode, see how he poisoned his wife with the antifreeze. And I think he's sitting in the federal pen right now or somewhere in jail.
Coming up on the other side, felonies with Fesco.
Tell you what, brother. Got a lot of stories.
Antifreeze is what he poisoned her with?
Yeah, you put it in her Gatorade, like little bit at a time, little bit at a time, little bit at a time.
Yikes.
Thought he was gonna get the inheritance. And no, that didn't work out so well. Mm.
So long story short, no, Bob wouldn't run the board that well.
That's I guess
so. So back to the original question. Yeah. No chance.
All right. Before we get into the library, and I do, there was a text that came in on the other side that says, curious why nobody's talking about Hollywood Brown and DeAndre Hopkins not being involved in the game. What am I missing? We will have to score points to win against Buffalo. Mm-hmm. I think we can explain that a little bit later on throughout the show. So
I
stay
got
with
your
this.
Answer for you.
Stay with us, because I think the what you're going to know is if you look at what they did last year, think about what they did in that game. Right?
You batten down the hatches, man.
That's where I'm leaving you. But where I want to continue is with quarterbacks and coaches in the playoffs, because I feel like this is where you guys can kind of, you know, debate against each other, because you both kind of think have different, you know, points of views on this. But we always, because what I saw yesterday, or at least what I noticed yesterday with the main narrative, with watching other shows, listening to other shows, was that there was a lot of blame on just solely quarterbacks. And I get it. Like, the coach doesn't throw the ball, right? And the coach doesn't go out there. But in the Baltimore game, there were zero design quarterback runs. I hate to tell you this, but like Lamar's strength is like getting people guessing with what is he going to do. I think he is a good passer. I don't think he's a great passer. I think
well,
he's
we
a good
saw
passer.
That on Sunday. He was not a great right. passer.
So then where's the, you know, the schematic version of Harbaugh being like, hey, you know what? Maybe it's not working. It's cold. It's windy. We're down Zay Flowers. Mark Andrews has fumbled. Maybe we should design a run play. I don't necessarily think that's Lamar's fault. Now, was Lamar good?
No, there were two balls right. that he, the Mark Andrews throw, he should have caught it. Wasn't a great pass.
Right.
And then the one, the Derrick Henry out in the flats that he left a little bit short as well. You hit those two plays, you probably win the game.
And he fumbled and he took some crucial sacks when he couldn't take some crucial sacks.
It was not a good day for Lamar.
Or the play calling.
No.
Right. And here we are, right? Lamar Jackson, Baltimore Ravens, greatest regular season team, can't get it done in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And now Lamar's not getting younger. And the rings are getting harder to come by because everybody in the league is starting to get more and more talent. Ask Josh Allen how tough it is to get to the damn Super
Bowl.
Ask anybody in the AFC how tough it is. One guy seems to know how to do it because he's got it figured out because of the combination of he and the coach. You look at Goff and Campbell, right? Like Jared Goff, three picks, not great, wasn't that best, whatever it was. But at some point, like, you got to adjust, you know, Campbell going for it on fourth down, leading by the sword, gambling. How much is on Jared Goff? How much is on Dan Campbell?
I think a lot more is on Jared Goff in this game than is on Dan Campbell. You know, you had the three turnovers. But the one thing that I will say is potentially on the head
four
coach.
Turnovers.
Yeah.
But he had three, though. Yeah.
Yeah. Three. Yeah. Him
and
himself.
A fumble.
So Jameson Williams was a separate. So they had five interceptions five turnovers?
He had a fumble that he lost, and he had three interceptions.
Yeah, gotcha.
He had four turnovers on his own.
And so when you look at stuff like that, I'm more concerned with was that guy concussed playing in that game too? Because once he got drilled and dropped to the ground and didn't come back in, I don't know that he was ever healthy. That's on the head coach there. If you're rolling out a quarterback that, you know, shook it off, if you will, I know they have the independent concussion specialist, but you can't tell me that guy wasn't shook after that play, right? And I know you need Jared Goff, because I don't know who the hell the backup is, you know, for the Lions, but I think Jared Goff holds a lot of blame for that. He's the ultimate decision maker out there. And that's where I go back a little bit to Lamar, but it's different for me with Lamar, and not because I love Lamar. I thought John Harbaugh, you know, I don't know what the game plans are. I don't know. Play calls are good if they work. If they execute them, they're great play calls. No, if they get stopped at the line of scrimmage, it's a bad play call. So it's very subjective about play calling. Harbaugh, for me, lost the game because he went for two way too early in the game and took a point off the board, and now you're chasing points, and then you put yourself in a position where you have to go for two at the end of the game just to try to force an overtime period. That's where I get mad with Harbaugh. That's where I get mad with coaches. When they make those blatant decisions that are clearly bad, that don't give their team the opportunity to win. And that's what I saw with Harbaugh. I don't know that I saw that with Dan Campbell on Saturday.
And I would say out of the four names that we have here, I guess eight total, I would say two have a little bit more responsibility for their game than the other two. I would say that Goff and Stafford, you know, I mean, they did what they did. Stafford was sacked five times, and he had two fumbles. He lost one. Mm-hmm. One of the fumbles he lost, you just can't do that. Now, I know Kyron Williams had a couple fumbles, but Stafford threw for 324, threw for two touchdowns. McVay didn't really lose that game. It was just more so like Philadelphia's defense is number one for a reason. That's why Jalen Carter
took over a game.
Welcome to it. That guy's the next Chris Jones.
And then they couldn't stop Saquon Barkley either on defense.
Not a lot of people can.
You know, it's like, oh, the offense. Well, how about the defense? It's okay to tackle Saquon Barkley. Like, you didn't have to let him run all over the place, you know, in those games and run it out there at the end. So, yeah, I don't know with that one. I think that's more of a defensive thing for anybody than either coach or quarterback in that game. But I think our game, I think our game, the Chiefs game, if you're going to say who lost the game, D'Amico Ryans lost that game for the Houston Texans. And there's no question that he's the reason they lost that game.
I think that's fair because, look, he's a defensive guy. And he's got to kind of know, at least this is what my opinion is, and I know maybe this is unfair, but I think when you look at that sort of thing, like he's got to see what the Chiefs defense is doing to his offensive line and then maybe go over there and have a conversation with his coaches. Be like, hey, man, they're putting pressure on the right edge. Like they're going to keep doing this. If you can slide somebody over and we can protect. Stroud was sacked eight times, threw for 245, But I feel like if you're D'Amico Ryan, you have got to change your game plan in that sort of situation because your quarterback was getting beat up. I mean, his knee was injured, his ankle was injured. He was getting frustrated. He's mentally checking out. And at some point, you got to be like, hey, I don't care what we do if we throw three guys over there with Schultz. Protect that right side because 56 is absolutely blowing us up. Mm-hmm. Or at some point, you've got to do something to adjust during the game because C.J. Stroud was out there on an island, and that island was Carl Loftus Island. Well, he was getting taken down nonstop. And it wasn't him. It was somebody else.
The thing for me, though, I don't think D'Amico Ryan's lost the game in the game. I thought he lost the game this time last week when he's getting his guys all wound up about the penalties and the referees. Yeah. I do. I think that is a big thing. Like, the number one thing as a coach, put your players in position to win. Number two is eliminate distractions. He created a major distraction with the officials. Like, he told them going in, the officials are going to screw you. They are going to F with you. They are going to mess with you. Mm-hmm. We've got to overcome the officials. So what are these players thinking about when they go into the game? The officials are going to screw us. They're going to screw us. They're going to screw us. They weren't focused on the right thing. That was bad leadership by D'Amico Ryans, and that pains me because I love D'Amico Ryans. I think he's good, but he's also in his second year as an NFL head coach. That's a good learning moment for D'Amico Ryans. If he don't learn from that moment down there and evolve from that moment and never bring up the referees again to his players, then he didn't take that loss and learn what he needed to learn from that loss. That's where I think D'Amico Ryans lost. I just don't think he had his team ready to play this game because they were focused on the wrong things.
Gentlemen, welcome to the library. If you need, there's coffee to your left unless you stopped at a local gas station and got your free cup.
Not today.
Oh.
Too cold.
Broke the streak. Had to make it at the house. Welcome to the library. As mentioned before, it closed after today because there won't be any more books available for this season unless we do an off-season library, which that could get gnarly. Mac, Bob, welcome to the library. We start off in the mystery section. You're very familiar with this sort of genre. Next best mystery novel that you could check out. Up to you. Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn, or simply Dallas.
I'm going Dallas on that one. That is a mystery down there. Who's the leader in the clubhouse now for Dallas?
I believe it's Marty Schottenheimer.
Marty Schottenheimer.
They're going to bring him back from the dead.
Yeah, that's right. Brian Schottenheimer was the leader yesterday. They interviewed Leslie Frazier yesterday.
Right. She was great on Dateline.
I mean, I just really think, like, if you're going to take this job, you better just cash a check because you're not going to win. As long as Jerry Jones is involved in the Cowboys, they will be a losing organization. I saw a stat yesterday that said,
when you talk about Dallas, you get louder.
Two quarterbacks it was Jalen Hurts and Jaden Daniels have been born, turned 18, graduated from college, and won multiple playoff games since Dallas has last won a Super Bowl or been to a Super Bowl.
Hospital records are in the back corner if you're interested in those.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I think there's no question. That's the best mystery. I have no idea what the hell's going to happen over there.
Now we're cussing in the library.
I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Total failure. Our coach, Leslie Frazier. What?
I guess you could throw another mystery novel in there and just put Detroit. You've now lost both of your coordinators, and Dan Campbell's got a lot of pressure.
That's a good mystery.
That is a solid mystery. Maybe it'll be available next year in paperback. Best memoir. Lions, Vikings, Ravens. These were the three best teams in the league this year, and their book is now on the shelf.
I think all of them are trash. The endings for all three of them are just garbage. Like, you read that whole novel, and then you get to the ending, and you're like, this is it?
Yep.
You know, for all three of these teams? Man, they could all go pound sand.
Mm.
Regular season, your stats.
Yeah, I mean, the Lions have by far the most excuses, so I'll give the Lions. The injuries, I mean, alone, give me some pause for them. The Ravens, no excuses. Also, where was that top five rushing defense? Mm. Nowhere.
Yeah, that Lions book, it's like a character died every week.
Yeah,
every
really,
chapter.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then he went down. Mm-hmm. No way. Mm-hmm. Wait till you get to the next chapter. They're going to lose their defensive end for the year. Yeah. And he's good. Aiden Hutchinson gets another sack, leads the league. Now he's out. Coming up here, instead of having a memoir or a mystery, best humor novel this year in the Likens Library. Raiders, Jets, Browns.
Well, yeah, it's the Jets.
Yeah,
it really is. There's a lot of schadenfreude with the Jets as well.
Mm-hmm. And,
you
of course.
I mean, it's just the whole thing. From the way it started to the way it ended, there was not a minute where you weren't laughing.
Yeah, I think it's got to be
the Jets. At least I was.
Yeah, absolutely.
The humor novel for the Browns, so the players quit on the quarterback.
Is that what they're saying now?
Apparently, the entire locker room is sent the message. We are no longer going to give you what we want if you do not put this guy somewhere else.
Deshaun.
That's right.
Good.
Yep.
I would love to see like a legit locker room revolt. Like with the Browns, they just go on strike. There nobody else, just the Browns.
There was a really good novel back in the day. It was called The Replacements. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but they brought in Footsteps Falco, and nobody wanted to play for Martell, a.k.a. Watson. Yeah.
I'm trying to think if we've ever seen a player like that. Where Watson, the whole team is like, not playing for this guy, not playing with this cat.
And the replacements.
That's a movie. Well, this is
you
real
could,
life.
You could tell me that Cleveland's not a movie.
Yeah, it'd be a terrible one.
I thought it was a book.
I thought it was called Draft Day.
Yeah.
Well, we have audiobooks.
Okay, gotcha.
Almost time to get out of the library and get on with our day. Best short story for the 2024-25 library. Jordan Love, Justin Herbert, Brock Purdy. I feel like that book is running out of pages.
The Purdy book definitely is. The Herbert book is close for me. So Jordan Love needs a bounce back next year.
He needs a hard copy.
I'll go Jordan Love.
Don't want that to turn into a graphic novel.
I'd say Justin Herbert. Yeah, great start with the first-year head coach. Little to no talent. People are going to look back on this year and laugh that they were criticizing him with a rookie wide receiver.
What a short story. What did he throw? Three interceptions? Four and
he
one
was great.
Game?
Four. He was so spectacularly awesome in that
when
game
it didn't
against
matter.
Houston.
And then our last book of the day in the Likens Library. Best action book getting ready to come out this weekend. The rematch of Giants or The Kid versus the Team? Let me numb that up for you. The rematch of Giants would be Buffalo versus Kansas City. How intrigued are you for the fourth edition of that installment in that series?
I was like, who's Saquon Barkley playing against? It used to be on the Giants. It's now on the Commanders.
Or, speaking of, you have the kid, Daniels, versus the team, Philadelphia. We can all agree that's the best team totally in the NFL.
The mayor of Philly can't even spell Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. Very hard to spell that name.
Marv couldn't even spell the Wet Bandits.
I'm going to say, the best one is going to be the rematch. It's going to be an unbelievable game.
Yeah, it's the rematch, but I'm extremely intrigued. I'm extremely intrigued.
But you're not selecting.
I'm going to select the rematch because of my biases. But if I was not a Chiefs fan, I'd be picking the kid, man.
Close it. Library's gone. Thank you, fellas. Where are you at this game yet for Sunday? I know we're getting to Tough Tuesdays a little bit.
I'm not even close to getting ready for that game yet. No, it's still too early in the week. Yeah,
you've got
to pace yourself.
I'm going to be a nervous wreck.
Oh, it's going to be bad.
I mean,
I feel great going into this one. Like, everything is here that they've wanted all year long.
I saw last time they played, no Minnehue, no Pacheco, no Hollywood Brown.
Yep.
And there was another one they didn't have.
No Tooney at left tackle.
And that's the last time the Chiefs turned the ball over when they played them.
November 17th, zero turnovers in the, 200 and the number?
There have been 280 turnovers in the NFL since week 12. The Chiefs have committed zero of them.
Eight straight games without turnover is the longest streak by any team in the Super Bowl era. But again, let the refs, You think
talking about the refs?
You think of like the Buffalo Bills player goes up to get an interception, the ref's just going to spear him out of nowhere and be like, dude, I don't know. Just want to make sure he's all right. Coming up on the other side, we will get to the Tough Tuesdays. Plus, we will bring up what Mad Dog Russo had to say and just lean into it because I think that guy is jealous he's not somebody that plays for the Chiefs. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5, The Fan.
Right back at it. Been promising you this all morning, so here you go. Well, there was an entire segment
must not been paying attention.
Thanks for listening, Mike. Ooh. Okay.
I would imagine.
What a bag.
Did he just say, I'm sick of Kansas City?
Yeah.
Right? I know you went and met Timothy Chalamet or whatever the hell his
Timothee.
Name is. Who played Bob Dylan, and you weaseled your way into that because you whined and screamed on national television that you never get to go to this kind of stuff. But even Bob Dylan would say, Taylor's better than I am, right? I mean, like, let's be honest here. Taylor Swift is the number one artist of all time. Bob Dylan, I like Bob Dylan. There's a couple of good Bob Dylan songs that I really, really, really love. Like, Hurricane is one of my favorite songs of all time. Tangled Up in Blue is fantastic. Taylor Swift's got Bob Dylan beat here, you know, Russo. And the Caitlin Clark thing, if you'd been paying attention and you were watching instead of just bloviating and going after the low-hanging fruit, which everybody does when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs, you would know 2 years ago Caitlin Clark was talking about being a Chiefs fan and wanting to come to Kansas City and was, I think, on the Kelce podcast because she's a Chiefs fan wanting to be here in Kansas City. And so she got the invite from Taylor Swift. The jealousy that is out there is just so overriding everybody's opinion of what's going on. People, fans, everybody are jealous of the success that the Chiefs are having. They're jealous that Taylor Swift this year, and they just don't know what to do anymore because it doesn't appear to be ending anytime soon, right? Like, it's not coming to a screeching halt. Everybody isn't retiring. The team isn't going away. Taylor Swift is not, you know, done recording songs and all this kind of stuff. People just don't know what to say anymore. So the jealousy comes out. That's where the real hatred comes out. And that's that right there, Mad Dog Russo, yeah, that's low-hanging fruit, man. I expect more from you than to attack Caitlin Clark and to attack Taylor Swift. Like, that's so last year. Come up with something fresh and new.
Yeah, what's the definition everybody's running with right now at the...
You talking about Chiefs derangement syndrome?
Yeah, yeah. That's the definition.
I've heard that everywhere now. Like, okay. Yeah,
that's the buzz this go-around.
There was Patriot derangement syndrome. I'm sure for 14 years there was KU derangement syndrome when they were winning the Big 12 every year. And all. Like it happens when teams are good.
What are we calling it, CDS?
CDS, okay. Chiefs derangement syndrome. It's too hard to say.
CDS,
I guess. Right, but I mean, like,
that guy's got a bad case of CDS.
Yeah, but it's also just a bad case of I don't know what to say anymore because this team has overcome all the odds. They continue to win. They continue to find ways to win. People want to blame the referees when the official, you know, stats out there show that the Chiefs have not benefited from the refs all year. When you start blaming Caitlin Clark, Taylor Swift, and the referees,
right,
it tells me, A, you don't know much about football, and B, you got nothing else to say, and you're only looking for people to play your audio and give you clicks and all that kind of stuff, which is what the business is part of right now. I totally understand that, right. But I mean, that guy sounded like a dope. I mean, you it's Caitlin Clark's fault! Caitlin Clark? Go back to bed, Russo.
Well, he's also notoriously known for saying that he likes to take gummies and watch sports.
Yeah.
You need to, like, take a gummy the next time the Chiefs are on.
Yeah,
the network that you work for is who they played for, so it's like, yeah.
Or don't watch. Like, if it's bothering you that much, don't pay attention, but you're hate-watching now, which is even better.
Yeah. You know. I mean, I guess CDS. I guess that's what people have.
Do you remember it being this bad with the Patriots, though?
Oh, yeah. But the problem was that the Patriots made it easy.
Yeah, they did. They were jerks. Yeah, they cheated.
They cheated. Kansas City, it's like, well, we don't really have anything else to say except maybe the refs enjoy letting them win. or you watch a ton of Chiefs game because they're consistently on television setting records.
I love now the, so, like, the new ones are there's such and such a record against like this or with this referee and whatnot. Like the Chiefs have won like 75% of their games over the last 10 years. Or it's actually, and we'll get into this a little bit later, they've actually won 71% of their games since Andy Reid has taken over.
Is so, that good?
It's the second best in that period of time for any franchise since 2013. The Chiefs have the second best winning percentage. So they're winning with whoever's refereeing these games. And they were winning before Patrick Mahomes got out there. They just took it to the next level. And like for all these people who get mad that the Chiefs are getting penalties, I was talking to somebody yesterday. Do you really want to watch a football game that features Carson Wentz taking on whoever the backup is for Buffalo? Or would you rather have both quarterbacks be protected and both quarterbacks be out there? Because that's what we want to see. We want to see the best players play. And if you have to protect the quarterbacks who are the best players to ensure that they stay out there, then by all means, let's do this.
Mahomes was still sacked three times Sunday. So like, let's, you know, put into perspective. Tough go there for one Russo. Let's get into our tough Tuesdays here on a Tuesday, which is the best day of the week if you're Bob Fesco.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead, Bob. Who's your tough Tuesday?
Well, I'm going to start with Marcus Freeman losing that game last night. I think Marcus Freeman is still a star in the making, but I thought there were a couple of things that said, okay, he's not quite ready yet for that big time moment of being in the NFL, right? The two interviews that he did on the field with Holly Rowe, I thought he kind of froze up and did not answer the questions. Like, she asked the question about how do you get off the field? He goes, "We got to get off the field." I'm like, okay. Like he was just kind of like, I thought, stunned. And then after the game, hearing about the kerfuffle in the locker room where coaches were going around telling reporters not to ask certain questions and things like that, like, yeah, it shows you aren't ready for the big time. My next tough Tuesday is Saquon Barkley. Why Saquon Barkley? Because the guy who just got the job coaching the Bears is now making more money than Saquon Barkley.
Yeah. Well, what did Max say yesterday that Gabe Davis makes more money?
Yeah, Gabe Davis making more money than him. But
never
now,
heard of him.
Yeah, exactly. And then finally for me, Bears fans, because I think they swung and missed big time. I think the Bears will be hiring a new head coach before the Chiefs are hiring a new head coach.
So the next 5 years, next 3 years.
Three to 5 years, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Why don't you trust Ben Johnson?
I just have no way of knowing that he can run a program. I don't know how great his play calling is. A lot of it's based on execution. I think these coordinators get talked up by the ball washers of the NFL, and they become these great candidates, and then they all fizzle out. I'm trying to think of like the last great coordinator to
Kevin
go on
O'Connell.
To be a good, but what has he won though?
He's got 14 maybe, games with Sam Darnold.
Great in the regular season's done a really
Sean
nice
McVay,
job. Hasn't
before.
Taken it over. Sean McVay, I don't think was ever a coordinator. I was looking at it last night. I don't know that he was ever a coordinator. LaFleur hasn't won anything. We can't continue to give guys kudos and roses for doing nice things in the regular season.
Shanahan.
The playoffs are what matters.
I'd say Shanahan was a good coordinator.
Yeah, he's
Yeah, McVay
Kingsbury
was the offensive coordinator for the Washington Commanders.
Yes, okay, yeah, under Jay Gruden. I just let him ride with it, though. I don't know. I mean, if it's...
Why do you think Ben Johnson's going to be good? I'll reverse the question because everybody's like, oh, these guys are going to be great. Based on what?
His quarterback in Detroit.
Goff was really good under McVay in L.A. In fact, if you look at the numbers, and I had them the other day, he's very, very similar in Detroit as he was in L.A. with Sean McVay as his head coach.
Yeah, I mean, it could have fallen apart after he left McVay, and Ben Johnson was able to put the offense together and have him be successful in it.
Averaged the same amount of yards per pass with the Rams as he did with the Lions. And, you know, big game. I don't know if that's the coach's fault, but Jared Goff not exactly the best in big games. But, hey, look, great for the Tigers or whoever that team is in Chicago. I hope you enjoy Ben Johnson for 2 years. But I promise you this, you'll be looking for a new head coach before the Kansas City Chiefs are.
Yeah, man, it's tough to kind of put that in that category to be like, yeah, you'll be a quarterback good once Mahomes is retiring. Andy Reid's just an anomaly of good coaches. I'll go with Goff and Campbell, tough Tuesdays. Again, here we are, Dan Campbell crying at a post-game press conference in the playoffs saying it's his fault. Eventually, that's got to end, man. We talk about windows. I think it's a tough Tuesday for the Texans players' checkbook. I think that Goodell will hammer all those guys that said all those things, including D'Amico, Will Anderson, Mixon, maybe not Stroud, but D'Amico's getting a fine, Will Anderson's getting a fine, and Joe Mixon's getting a fine.
What is the line for the fines, though?
Like, talk about the ref. When you say that when they're bad, they'll come get you.
Yeah, I feel like they just get to decide what the line is, right?
Yeah, I thought they kind of circularly talked around it where it's not finable, but who knows?
Who knows? Yeah.
My other tough Tuesday are the air pumps that are free. Congratulations, they are free at Quick Trip. Thank you so much.
Yep.
But man, those things are getting more attention than probably anybody in the world right now, because you wake up in the morning and your PSI and your tires are about 8 down. I had to go to my stepdad's house. He's got a big air compressor yesterday. I was like, I'm not doing the Quick Trip thing.
You do the Quick Trip thing before you come into work.
Oh,
that's the secret, because there's nobody at the air pump.
That's true. But I just went to his house, went out, drove down to Green Valley, took 5 minutes. All right, see you later.
See ya.
Thank you. So that's my tough Tuesday.
Yeah, I'll go with the Ravens, man. Todd Monken, Mark Andrews. And for me, I just feel for my guy, Derrick Henry. Yep. Wasn't on the field a lot in that fourth quarter. Felt like they could have used him more.
They got him to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. And he felt like he could have been a catalyst there, and he wasn't. Sucks. That season will be forgotten for him.
What season?
Exactly.
Just like that betting show.
Which one?
That one.
No.
He'll join us on Thursday as we gear up for the playoffs. But I have somebody that I think when all these people look at the Chiefs and say, oh, I hate Mahomes, I hate Andy Reid, I hate the refs because they love I'm Chris Mad Dog Russo and I hate Travis Kelce and Grover. I'll tell you who you really ought to hate, and it's just pure envy. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.